You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome to the live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program for Saturday evening, August 10th. I'm your host, James Edwards, and we're coming to you tonight live from our flagship radio station here in Memphis, Tennessee, going out, of course, as always, to the affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at our internet headquarters, which apparently is down for the moment. I just got to the radio station and our website isn't coming up, whether it's under attack or it's just an anomaly. I'm not able to get on to thepoliticalcesspool.org, but don't forget you can catch us, of course, at libertyroundtable.com on the internet. They have our live feed as well for our worldwide legion of internet listeners. Eddie the Bombardier Miller is in with me tonight for the full 3 hours. Now, Eddie the Bombardier Miller is a fan favorite of many. Keith Alexander is on vacation tonight, so he is going to be back with us next week, and it's going to be me and Eddie for the duration tonight, and we're looking forward to that. First of all, I just want to say what a good time I had with everyone on Tuesday night. For those of you weren't there was a private reception for some of our biggest local contributors, and we do this once a year with a special guest speaker, and we rent out the private room of a very nice steakhouse just as our way of saying thank you to a few of the people here in the Memphis area that give above and beyond what could reasonably be expected. So these are our biggest top dollar contributors here just in the local area. And I think this year we sent out 20 invitations. And, of course, regardless of where or when an event is held, inevitably you're going to have some conflicts. You pick a day and time, it's not going to work for everybody you want to be there. And so I think out of the 20 people, and we limited the invitations to 20 people, our top 20 contributors here in Memphis, out of the 20 people we invited, I believe 14 were able to make it, and it was just a great night of fellowship. I say it was just local contributors. There was a gentleman from Arkansas, one from Dallas, Texas, even a great guy, he's such a great guy. He drove from Dallas just to have dinner with us, and then went back the next morning. And then a gentleman, another leader, a great thinker, great mind from the Atlanta area, drove in also. So I say it was local, but there were a couple of people from out of state that asked to come and be involved. And we were so glad that they were there, because they really added to what was a great evening of fellowship, of camaraderie, a great enthusiasm there, you know, friendship, brotherhood, all of that stuff. And we don't often get the time to do these invitation-only events or soirees, if you will, but we try to do them once a year, as I mentioned, and it took place this year earlier in the week. And I want to thank the folks who came and were able to make it for that. And if you would like to be invited to the next one, just be sure to contribute to each and every one of our quarterly fundraisers here in the Memphis area, if you're a Memphis area listener, to the top incentive level that we offer, and we would love to have you. And Sam Bushman is confirming that our website is down, so hopefully it'll be back up shortly. But I also got a lot of emails in this week from the folks that were there. My internet, it's funny that my website's down, because my internet at home has been down all week. It went out Sunday morning, the day after our last show. There was an AT&T service outage for all of Bartlett, which is the little suburb of Memphis that I live in. And so they said, oh, I called in every day. Oh, it's going to be fixed tomorrow. They're calling the next day. It's going to be fixed tomorrow. So on and so forth for about a week. So I was without internet access from Sunday through yesterday afternoon. It just came back on yesterday. Everything's good. Got on there, did a little work on the website. Had somebody else taking care of the website for me this week, since my internet was down at home and didn't want to drive to the radio station to put up a blog posting. So other people were handling that on our staff. But So now that I got that recovered, I come to the radio station and the website itself is down. So it's just been one of those weeks. But I guess if that's the worst thing that happens to me this week, I'll be blessed. And it is going to be a fun show tonight. Didn't have the internet at home, so we couldn't be quite as prepared as we'd like to be. But one thing for sure is it's been hot outside this week. The merciless southern summer continues undaunted. And the only thing hotter than the Memphis heat and humidity is going to be the shows that we deliver to you this month during the month of August. We're going to have some hot August nights, as Neil Diamond might say in Brother Love's Traveling Salvation Show. A pretty good song, if I do say so myself. Hot August nights in Memphis and I guess around the Southland, I guess all around the country for that matter, going to be hot in the studios of WLRM, and we're going to bring you a good show tonight, despite the lack of prep we've been able to put into it. I've got Eddie the Bombardier Miller in here, and we're going to get him on the horn here in just a second, and we're going to be talking about some issues near and dear to his heart, as well as a lot of stories. We don't have a guest tonight. I tried to get, and this is the truth, I tried to get Anthony Weiner's mistress on the show. If you didn't know this, she is now being represented by a talent agency. This is the truth. She has celebrity representation now. And we talked about this briefly last week, I think at the end of the first segment, or the first hour, last segment of the first hour. And it's just absolutely shameful the way she's cashed in on this. And everybody's just treating her as if that's okay. Now, to be sure, what he did is equally repugnant, and he should be called to the floor for that. But, you know, she has already flipped this from a cyber affair to a porn video. She has released a porn this week, and she's getting paid by all of these companies to represent them. She has sponsors now, and she's being paid six figures to model clothing because she had an illicit affair with a married man. And I just wanted to have her on the show because she's doing all of these radio appearances, right? And she has media representation now as a result of her celebrity and her fame or infamy. And so I put in a request. I said, you know, James Edwards, Political Cesspool, we'd like to have Sydney Leathers on the show. We want to talk about, you know, we want to talk about her story. And I wanted to ask her if her parents are proud of her. And if she could contribute to St. Jude. Is that Eddie's pet charity project here? But I just wanted to see, you know, if she is proud of herself, if this is the way that she wanted to make a name for herself. She's considering, you know, she did a porn video. She's considering being the spokeswoman for SugarDaddy.com or... Now, this is the truth. That's, I'm not making that up. This is in the news. And I just wanted to say, you know, is she proud of herself? Are her parents proud of her? If she thinks she's done anything wrong here, is she the victim? You know, she did an interview with Howard Stern. She's done it radio interviews. She's all over the place. So we put in a request. Of course, they declined us. She can do porn. That's well enough. That's not below her. But apparently, the political cesspool is beneath her. And so we struck out with Sydney Leathers. But I couldn't help but somehow become enthralled and fascinated by this story. And no one has asked her. Everybody's just treating her as if this is great and this is a legit cause for her to make a name for herself. Anyway, so she's not going to be on the show tonight. Eddie doesn't even know the story. I'll have to talk to him about it in the commercial break because our first one is here. We'll be back with more right after this.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our 0-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, and we're back. James Edwards, Eddie Miller, Political Cesspool. So there you go. There was the opening banner for tonight. And I guess I talked so much that I didn't get a chance for my elder brother in arms to say hello to the listening audience tonight. Yeah, Eddie, you're going to be here firing away, opening those Bombay doors and dropping the napalm for the full 3 hours tonight. We got a lot to talk about. As I mentioned, we're kind of just going to be taking story after story after story, and we're going to be throwing it all into the wood chipper and just letting it eat itself up. Again, as I mentioned, we're not going to be talking to Sidney Leathers, unfortunately, but that would have been fun. That would have made some news, I think. But Eddie doesn't know who she is or who Anthony Weiner is, for that matter. But anyway, yeah, that's for sure. But so the internet, our website is down. Hopefully it's because of too much traffic. But nevertheless, the show is, of course, going out to all the AM/FM affiliates. It doesn't have anything to do with our internet stream or the Listen Live number. By the way, the Listen Live number has changed. As you know, one of the added features that we give you now is to listen to the show via a telephone. Cell phone, landline, doesn't matter. You can turn any phone into a radio. And we got a new number for the Liberty News radio feed, which, of course, covers the political cesspool during our live broadcast hours every Saturday night from 6 to 9 Central and the hours during which our show repeats on the network. And that new number is 712-432-5339, 712-432-5339. Write that down if you had been somebody who uses that service to listen to the show. If perhaps you're away from a computer or you're in an area that doesn't have an affiliate and AM or FM station in your market, and it's just more convenient for you to listen to the show live over your phone, that is the new number, 712-432-5339. Okay, Eddie, work must intrude. We got to get to some news now. All that friendly banter aside, say hello to the audience. Let them know what, just quickly, the stories you have on deck for tonight. And so we're going to get to those during the third hour. Go through the stories that we're going to be covering a little bit later that you have brought to the table this evening. Just a quick teaser, and then we're gonna dive into Oprah Winfrey. A story about Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey says she is routinely the victim of racism.
I wish
I wish I could be oppressed like she is. She's made $3 billion off of white women. She's a multi-billionaire. But she's the routine. She was on Larry King Live. She has been on Larry King Live this week and talks about how racism just really continues to keep her down. But all right, Eddie, give us a teaser on some of the stories you've brought, and then we're going to start with Oprah and work our way down to the bottom.
First of all, I'd like to say, Oprah, if you're listening out there, I need a donation to the St. Jude Children's Hospital. So anyway, hey, here we go, folks. We got a lot to cover tonight, even though it's not as structured as usual. I'd like to bring up, if we have time, I have a sincere conviction that our nation is under judgment right now. We're being judged. And I'd like to talk about this a little bit if we have time later on. I think that we need a big national revival, especially in the South, to get God's judgments off of us. Maybe we can alleviate it somehow. Maybe we can't get all of it. Maybe it can be attenuated. I would like to also something to me is a miracle I'd like to talk about, and this is a flat miracle. As we talked about, here quite a bit about a class I've been trying to get into the church where I go for over a year. Well, if anybody's in the Memphis area, if you can hear me, I know our internet system is down, but if you can hear this broadcast, the class is going to start the second Tuesday after Labor Day. It will be September the 10th at 6:15. That's the date, tentatively speaking. This is a great class. It is 24 hours of hardcore lecture. We have study questions, we have pre-test, and there's going to be tests. And if you pass the test and you complete the course, you get a certificate from the Peruca and Peruca law firm out of Pasadena, Maryland. And I can't swear to this, but it might be good for some college credit, because if you well know, a lot of life experiences are good for credit in colleges today. I would also like to talk about something I've seen that's very disturbing to me in the churches, especially in the Mid-South, with our youth being just totally brainwashed about, and we may have talked about this in the past, about it's almost like, I'm white, so I have to be guilty, feel guilty. And so what I've got to do, I have to go to a mission over to the darkest of Africa and put my life on the line. And I'd like to say that that really disturbs me. We have people that I know. I'm not going to mention my church because I'm trying to get the class in there, folks. I don't want to bash them like I usually do. But, and when I say bash, don't take it like that. I love them, but I just think
objective criticism.
There you go. That's the word I'm looking for. But it really disturbs me when we've had people up here in the New England area back in the spring that was just totally wiped out. Just one of many, many, many tragedies here in the United States. And not $1 has ever come into here in the United States from other countries. And we have people right here. We have our own people dying in South Africa. Yeah, we have people spending, it's cost them $3,000 to go on these mission trips over here to Africa. I'd like to talk about that some tonight. I also like to talk about, and this is people, I think you need to get more active in your churches. I think you need to start pounding and pounding and pounding, even if it takes a year or two like it did me to get the Constitution class in. It doesn't have to be a class on the Constitution. That would be an excellent starting spot. Because, it's so bad in this country. And I hope you don't get tired of me talking about the Constitution. But it's so bad that if you go to the average church here in the Mid-South area, and you talk about the Constitution you'd like to bring a class in, they treat it like it's some kind of a radical, document. It's almost like they act like you're wanting to say, I want to bring a black mass in here. I want to have a human sacrifice. It's almost that bad. I'd like to talk about that. And something else, people, we talked about in the past, I'd like to talk about, something big right here we need to talk about. I wish the internet was up. We need to talk about Edward Snowden. And thank God he's been given immunity, in Russia. I salute Putin for that. I think he thumped his nose at the illegal alien in the White House, and that just tickles me to death. And he should be given immunity, and the American people should stand up for Edward Snowden. I'm going to tell you what happened. Here's what happened to Edward Snowden. This is kind of like I'm a fan of the Untouchables. All right, the mafia guys are committing a crime. They're They put, Frank Nitti, the enforcer, out, and he goes out and he kills a couple of people. Well, they have this guy, he's, you know, a librarian, and he witnesses the murder. Well, and he's going to go to the press because he feels he has a conscience, and he wants to see the law upheld. Well, that's what's happened to Snowden. Snowden has witnessed something much, a thousand times, like the murders of a thousand times. God only knows what he's got. But he should be a national hero. The media, the White House is actually stifling the freedom of the press. They really don't have to do a whole lot because the press is already controlled by the good sons of Israel. But no one can argue that, just like Hollywood is totally controlled. But we need to support this guy, and we need to press all of our representatives to get back to freedom of the press. It's being stamped out, people. And if we don't start to fight for freedom of the press, we are going to lose that. And let me turn you over to my younger brother, slightly younger brother in arm. Oh, one more thing. I tell you, folks, I went out from Carol. Oh, yeah. We'll talk about Karen Silkwood being attached to Edward Snowden. We'll talk about her later tonight, too. It's an upbeat thing, folks. I did my first training run since I had surgery 6 weeks ago. It went pretty good. I did about 6.5 to 7 miles. It didn't kill me. My side's a little bit sore, but I thought I'd bring y'all up on that because all our fans, most of our fans out there know I run marathons for St. Jude, and I'm doing really good. And I hope you will give me prayers. I want you to pray for Seb Bushman, and James Edwards can tell you he's known me long enough. I don't suck up to nobody. I tell people what I think they need to hear, what they should hear. I don't suck up to them at all. I think Sam Bushman's a great guy, and I want to go to, and I want to, I'm anxious to talk about the Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Organization tonight. We'll know when the next meeting is going to be. Now I got to turn it over to James. He'll give me the high side.
We've spent 30 minutes talking about what we're going to talk about. When we come back from this break, I swear we're going to talk about something. Stay tuned, everybody.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips.
There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Our website is limping back into service. We want to say, and I think the timing suggests, because I went out to eat with my wife earlier today, my wife and daughter, and I was on the internet on my iPhone, which I am a new owner of an iPhone. I had an old flip phone for up until a couple of months ago, so I'm being dragged kicking and screaming into the modern era as far as technology goes. Never will I be in the modern era politically, I guess, until we take things back over. But anyway, so the website was working then. The fact that it goes down right before a show could be a good sign. Hopefully it's traffic. We know that the audience continues to grow. And we got a lot of good stories up there, so I'd really like to be able to read them here so I'll know what to talk about. But as I said, we spent about 30 minutes talking about what we're going to talk about. And, you know, I tossed it over to Eddie at the top of the last segment. And what I was hoping for was something like this, because Eddie sent me a text message today with some of the stories he wanted to cover. And you could have done just like this, Eddie, when I said, give us a quick teaser about what you want to talk about. You could have said, youth missions to Kenya, data set for the Constitution class, Edward Snowden and Putin defy Obama, briefly revisit Old Testament versus New Covenant. Which is, of course, what we talked about last week with Ted Pike and what I thought was a very good hour of radio. We talked about a couple of his most recent articles, and Ted's always a great guest. Stuff like that. I mean, you could have done that in 2 minutes. That's what I was looking for. But, you know, we are Southerners. Southerners take longer to explain things. We like to be thorough. We talk slow, but think fast. And it's just Southern porch talk going on here in the political cesspool tonight, just Southern porch talk. All right, Oprah Winfrey. She is, I believe, the richest woman in the world. She is the richest black in the world. She's a multi-billionaire. But yet, she's went on the Larry King show, a Larry King television show last week, and had the audacity to claim that she is the victim of racism. And she is not only the victim of racism, this multi-billionaire, who, again, built her empire on the backs of white women who listen to her and watch her and support her. She had the audacity to go on this show and say that the white society in America here that has catapulted her into the multi-billionaire income bracket is racist. So here's the story. She's playing the race hustling game, just like Sharpton and Jackson and all the others. Just a few days ago, just to show you how disconnected from reality Winfrey is, she made the outrageous claim that millions of blacks were lynched in the South. Now, anybody that knows anything about that will tell you that at the most liberal number I've ever seen is in the thousands, under 10,000. And many of the people that were lynched were also white. And many of the people that were lynched because they had just raped someone or committed a violent crime, and it was just vigilante Old West justice. I'm not saying that it was right. It wasn't, but that's what it was. They weren't just lynched for walking around being black. But at any case, it was a handful of thousands, you know, 5,000, 6,000. I've read that number from reputable sources. Well, she says millions. Millions of black people were lynched by the racist Southerners, which is just, it's so outrageous. You just have to take it for what it is and move on. But now she's saying that she is routinely victimized by racism. This is, again, a multi-billionaire. Living in America, as I mentioned, has allowed her to become the richest and most influential black female in the history of humankind. She's gone from a completely, and this is a true story, if people don't know the background of Oprah Winfrey, she's gone from being a completely impoverished teenager who may have been impregnated by her own uncle to a media megastar worth nearly $3 billion. Oprah has stated that she was molested. Oh, now, this is something that she has stated in public, that she was molested by two relatives and family friends
starting about the time when she was 9 years old. And that's tragic, but this is, I'm just giving you background on who she is and how the kind of home life she had. She gave birth at age 14, and unfortunately the baby died shortly thereafter. But the fact of the matter is, had this occurred to her in Africa, where there is no white racism, thankfully they don't have to go through anything like that there. They're blessed, as you can tell, in Africa. They just have great standards of living, and they're just far beyond us in terms of advancement. It's the rape capital of the world. But if she had been born in the in Africa, there's no way she would have achieved this level of success. You know, she wouldn't have had any level of success. But anyway, she's here in America, this racist country. Now she's a multi-billionaire. And she makes this claim to Larry King Live that she's the routine victim of racism, and you know, the only victimization she's ever suffered is from her own race, as was just mentioned. But all the while, she says this by saying she's not one to play the race card, and she proves. And this story is not yet posted to our website; it'll be posted next week. But it proves that there is absolutely, positively no limit to the accusations of racism, and there's no limit to the baseless nature of these accusations. And she went on to also tell a story about how she at one time believed that they were more enlightened in Europe, that Europe wasn't as racist as the United States. Again, she's built this media empire here by all the racists that support her work. But she was in Holland, I believe, and this is a story she tells. And she goes into a store in Holland, and she wanted to buy a purse. And the clerk said, well, how about I show you this purse instead? And that was the whole gist of the conversation. Well, Oprah surmised, of course, in her infinite wisdom, that the clerk didn't show her the one purse because it was more expensive than the one the clerk thought she might like more. And so the only reason that the clerk wouldn't show her the purse she wanted was because the clerk saw that she was black and, of course, assumed that she couldn't afford the $38,000 purse she wanted to buy, which, being a multi-billionaire, that's like 38 bucks to me and you. And anyway, so the only reason that this could be, that this clerk could have for not showing her the most expensive purse in the store, was because the clerk was, of course, racist. And this is just one of the indignities that Oprah has to routinely suffer, is not, you know, instantly being catered to her every whim. The clerk didn't say, I'm not going to show it to you because you're black. That's just what Oprah felt. Now, there could be many reasons why the clerk didn't show her that purse instantly. Maybe the clerk sincerely thought she might like the other purse better that happened to only be, you know, I guess a $20,000 purse. I don't know. I mean, for instance, if I was working at a restaurant, I might not show Oprah a hamburger for fear of losing my arm. But I might just, you know, I might just escort her over to the buffet where she might be happier. But anyway, all kidding aside, that was a true story out of Holland. She's the victim of racism, Eddie, and that is the most, I think, obscene example of the racism she's had to suffer. Your thoughts?
Just this very night, I went in to purchase a product from a store for my younger brother. And I hate to say this to you, son. I said, show me, I don't want to see your most expensive product, sir. I would like to see one that meets more with my economic status, you know. So, and you were, I was following you exactly. When I go into a restaurant, one of the things I always do, or stores, I ask people their opinion. The people, for instance, I do a lot of running. When I first started going into running and buying running supplies, I thought you're a sissy if you had to have these special shoes, special socks, you know, and special shirts. But as I become more acquainted with running, I'll ask their opinion. What's the best stuff you got? Do you use it? Do you like it? How much does it cost? Do you have anything cheaper that costs the same amount? You know, I like to call upon the expertise of the people, the salespeople. I mean, that's what they're there for. You know, I don't want somebody to try to sell me the most expensive thing. If they got a pair of socks for $3 that'll do as good or better than a pair of $10 socks, I want the cheaper pair of socks. I mean, that's only common sense. But The whole thing is ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous. I mean, she's ridiculous. And I mean,
it's only common sense for a racist, Eddie. You can't see Oprah's lamentations here because of your white privilege and racism. But, and you know, think about this, though. That clerk at that store most likely worked off commission, so shouldn't she naturally want to show her the most expensive thing? But anyway, the only logical excuse would be the racism there. Now, Eddie is a little bit different. Eddie knows that I enjoy a robust glass of wine after every show. And so Eddie actually came to the studio tonight with a gift in hand, and it is a $7.99 bottle of wine, which I will enjoy after the show and over the course of the next couple of days. But this is did you feel the victim of racism when they sold you the $7 bottle of hooch, Eddie?
Well, I asked the kid in there we're going to take a break, folks. We got to come back. We got to talk about hooch when we come back.
These Southern Baptists and their bottles of wine, you know, we're notorious about that. We'll be back.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello and Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. That number again, 801-216-4816.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. James Edwards Eddy, the Bombardier Miller, coming to you on your AM and FM radio dial in select markets across the country, courtesy of the Liberty News Radio Network. Simulcasting online at, thepoliticalcesspool.org when we're up. I guess we have too many listeners tonight, but we're still simulcasting online at libertynewsradio.com, libertyroundtable.com. You can get the live feed there every week in addition to our website. Actually, we just hijack it from Sam's site anyway. So, but we're here. And for anyone who does listening in on the internet who's being inconvenienced tonight, you can, of course, catch this in the broadcast archives after the fact. But Trayvon Martin, still making news, Eddie, after the Zimmerman acquittal. One of our, I guess you would have to call it our magnum opus of the year, took place 2 or 3 weeks ago when we had a comprehensive coverage of the Zimmerman acquittal. And in fact, we looked at the whole case from a philosophical, cultural, racial, any sort of standard of measurement or standpoint you could examine it. We looked through that particular lens with an all-star lineup, including Sam Bushman was appearing at a conference in Missouri the night that show took place. But it was Sam Dixon, Dr. Kevin McDonald, Richard Spencer, Jared Taylor, Kyle Rogers, and of course myself and Keith were on for that particular show. And it was, by the estimates of many, our best program of the year, which is saying a lot because every show is pretty damn good. But still some news coming out of the Trayvon camp. Of course, as we know, the media skewed that as the white racist Hispanic Zimmerman killed Trayvon Martin out of nothing but racial hatred. He should have allowed him to beat his head into the concrete because he hurt Trayvon's feelings by asking him who he was and what he was doing. You deserve a death sentence for that. He had no right to defend himself. And that's the narrative we've seen. We've covered this story from every possible angle, as I mentioned. And if you missed that incredible show, folks, if you, for whatever reason, missed that show, go back a couple of weeks ago. You'll find it. It's the show where we exclusively talk about Zimmerman and Martin. Listen to it. But there's still some new stories, some new spinoffs coming out. For instance, the Smithsonian Museum, which is, of course, the collection of museums that house our most important cultural treasures as a nation and as a society. The director of the Smithsonian has put in a request for Trayvon Martin's hoodie, and he wants to display the piece of clothing that Martin wore when he attempted to murder George Zimmerman, because he believes that that will spark an open discussion about race in America. And I'm going to turn that over to you, Eddie, and then we got some more things I want to get into about this. But I want to email him and see if he will also display my book at the Smithsonian Museum, which I think serves as a tool to help people understand the racial dialogue or lack thereof in this country. But no, he wants to display the bloodstained hoodie of Trayvon Martin, obviously to elicit sympathy for the thug. And which is what he was. I wish he hadn't have been killed. I wish he hadn't have done what he did that warranted Zimmerman having to defend himself. But nevertheless, I wish the story had never occurred. He wants to display his hoodie because he believes that will usher in a greater understanding of race in America.
Yeah, for sure. That's what we need to do. We need to get that hoodie and wave it like a in front of all the blacks in America, like a bullfighter waves a red flag in front of a bull. Because that is, you know, it always calms the bull down, doesn't it, folks? You know, I would like to know if the Smithsonian Institution. Amen to that. You know, I would like to know if the Smithsonian Institute would like to take up the piece of sidewalk from a friend of mine who was beaten almost to death by a group of blacks when I was about 12 years old in South Memphis, and the blood-stained sidewalk there seeped into, and it was horrible. I remember seeing that. I would like to know if maybe the Smithsonians would like to get some of the clothing I have when I had dogs turned loose on me and I had my head beat in a few times by these wonderful underprivileged blacks, you know, from my age, 12, 13 years old, all the way up to 20s, James. I would like to know if they would like to that, you know, if they would like to, you know, some of this blood-stained clothing that I have. I doubt if they would be interested in that. But I'm going to sum this, see if I can sum this up real quick. Like, what you see with Zimmerman is just and I don't know if anybody has severed it his exact way, but it's all biblical people. The Anglo-Saxon Germanic white race in the United States is pretty much the last holt of Christianity in the world. It used to be a lot greater than it is now. There's really not that many Christians left, but we do have a few. And if that few would get together and pray, maybe we could stave off the judgment. But what we're seeing is an attack. These people that are attacking Zimmerman, they don't care about those blacks. They hate white people because white people are pretty much the majority Christians in the world. It's just like it says in the Bible, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principles, but against principalities in evil men in high places. That's what it is. That's all it's ever been. That's the reason they're trying to destroy the borders, the American borders with Mexico, and just overrun the white people here because they want to destroy Christianity. And the people that want to usher us into globalism, they know that the white people in the United States primarily, and in Europe to some extent, but primarily the United States, we are the only stumbling block to them and their desire to get us into a one world government. That's why, and another reason they're so desperate to get rid of our right to keep and bear arms. And later on tonight, I'd like to talk to, get Sam to talk about that, the CSPOA, and some of the things he's involved in that has to do with that, James.
The great Sam Bushman will be on tonight a little later in the show to talk about some other topics. And I think Sam sent me this next article, which also pertains to the Trayvon Martin story or the stories that have come since the acquittal of Zimmerman and since we last talked about this so comprehensively on the Political Cesspool a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, they have these Trayvon Martin rallies across the country that are sparsely attended, but nevertheless they manifest themselves. And there was this woman there holding a sign that said, "We're racist and proud," talking about, and she was of course posing as a Zimmerman supporter, her and a couple of other people. "We're racist and proud." And so she goes to this rally where she knew that there would be news, and she holds this sign that says, "We're racist and proud." Because, of course, anyone that thought Zimmerman was exercising his God-given right to self-defense must be a racist, right? You have to be a racist. So anybody that supports Zimmerman must be a racist. So she was there as part of the pro-Zimmerman group at this Trayvon Martin rally, holding a sign that said, "We're racist and proud." Well, she was promptly outed as a far-left activist. It's just another race hoax, another hate hoax, as you would expect. So not much of a surprise there, but this is you know, the kind of caliber of people that we're dealing with. But one of the things most interesting to me is an online social media outpouring, this co-opt called the We Are Not Trayvon Martin. And it's a group of white liberals who get on this website to write about how much they hate themselves, basically saying, "We're not Trayvon Martin. We'll never know what he had to go through. We're not a saint like him." And they basically just self-flagellate themselves. They display their white guilt like conceited children. It's some sort of a social therapy. It's really sick. I'm just going to read you a couple of the entries here on the We Are Not Trayvon Martin website. "I am disgusted and grieved by the privilege I experience every day by simply being a white woman." This is what she said. So she's a Trayvon supporter. She's disgusted that she was born white. "I'm a 25-year-old Caucasian male who is gay," reads the next entry. "I live in Tennessee. Although I have experienced discrimination due to my sexual orientation, I will never know what it's like to be discriminated by the color of my skin like Trayvon was." Yeah, he was discriminated by the color of his skin. Right. "I am not Trayvon Martin. I'm a 20-year-old white woman living in America, and my future will never be abruptly stolen from me due to the color of my skin." Because keep in mind, this is what these sick perverts believe, that Zimmerman walked up to him, shot him just because he was black, which has been completely discarded by a court of law, by the Sanford Police Department, and everybody with any objectivity. "I am not Trayvon Martin. I am a white teenage female from a predominantly white small town." Horror of horrors. "I will never know what it's like to be profiled by the color of my skin and the way Trayvon was. I come of a place of total privilege, a good education, and an upper-class middle American family." Now, see, she feels guilty for that, Eddie. It's a sin that her parents worked hard and have done things the right way to provide her a lifestyle like that, but she hates herself for it. And this is what the media has instilled in our people, people who don't have the sense to think for themselves. I am not Trayvon Martin, another one reads. I am a white woman with not one but two graduate degrees, a solid middle-class income, and relatively no fear of being shot on my way home from buying iced tea and Skittles. Even though I am a woman and make only 77 cents compared to my white male colleagues, and even though I grew up working class and owe $80,000 in student loans, I will never know the struggle of black Americans. I have inconceivable privilege. Well, thank God, first of all, that she is such a good social justice advocate that she just had to drop in that little tidbit about the male-female pay gap, lest we forget that women are also oppressed by the white racists, as if we ever could. But it goes on and on. There's thousands of these things, Eddie. There's thousands of them. And after skimming through the entries, the author of this rebuttal piece writes, it becomes clear what's going on here is postmodern secular version of confession. One thing none of the contributors mention is any sort of religious upbringing, and that's key. None of them claim that they are Christians, and I think that that shows. I'd wager that none of them have ever darkened the door of a church, let alone given a real confession. But this is what they do. They indulge in this cleansing ritual, it's sick, it's perverted, it's disgusting. But you have a show like the Political Cesspool, folks, a pro-white radio entity, and these people need to come to us for therapy. We'll take a break. We'll come back.